when I was about 35, I guess, or around there. All right. We studied a little bit about Mohammed last week, and it was pretty popular on there. Even me saying anything about him was very dangerous. You know that. And the Quran. They will kill you for no reason. Because you insulted their prophet or whatever. There is no tolerance in that religion whatsoever. There are no moderate. You know, there isn't such a thing as moderate Islam. Just stir one of them up with a cartoon or burn a Quran. You can say anything about Jesus Christ that you want to. You can put bad movies out about him, turn him into a horrible person, homosexual, whatever you want to do with him on air, and nobody's going to kill you. But you say anything contrary to the belief of Islam, and you're in dangerous ground. America has lost its freedom of speech. We have lost it. We have let it slide. The whole world has. Every place has lost the freedom of speech because of the terrorism of that religion. The terrorism. It is the most terrorist religion, and it began that way. It didn't evolve into it today. It doesn't have a radical element. It's basically a radical religion. I've said in the past that, and throw in a little church history, the Catholic Church was that way too. The Catholic Church was very, very radical, very intolerant to other religions. It would kill. Islam and Catholicism have conquered and converted by the sword. Islam will tell you, we don't force anybody to convert. But historically, they hold a dagger to the throat and say, convert or die. And there are specific people they did this to. And you go back historic and say, here, this person, what happened here? What happened here? What happened here? You know. In the Islamic world, what is one of the most common things in where Islam is fighting each other, going back and forth? What are they doing? When they go into an area, what do? They pillage, don't they? And rape. They pillage and rape. One time, Mohammed's soldiers went into this area, and they were out, you know, they've been out conquering on these jihads. And they went into this village, and they killed all the men. And then they started raping the women. But they were practicing coitus interruptus. So they didn't think they could get any money for ransom if these women were pregnant by them. And so they went and asked Muhammad, what should we do? And he said, forget about it. He said, Allah doesn't care. He won't make them have babies unless he wants them to. So just go on and do what he's going to do. And they went in and raped and pillaged all over, stole, made contracts with people, and then broke them. Of course, it's always their fault, you know. And you can lie to a non-believer. It doesn't matter because you're not a person. Not a person. So that's some of the things I'm going to bring a little bit more to you. I'm getting ready to teach church history. And I'm going to go in more depth in Islam than I have ever done before. And I just kind of skipped over it. But you know what? The last time I taught that was almost 10 years ago. Look what's happened in the last 10 years. We have quite a force in 10 years, don't we? Quite a force. Look what's happened in the last 10 years. Now, Adriana, what did you have for a question?
Okay. You know how you mentioned a few weeks ago that spiritual gifts don't exist currently? So, and a lot of charismatic churches,
yes,
you know, they talk about the gifts of tongues.
Yes. That's so very important. Emotion is very important in charismatic churches. I did my master's degree on the near cult, and I went through all of the gifts. Many pastors today, and I went from all the gifts from the original Greek words, and I told you what they were. And I might even have one back there. But I did it in ebook. If you go on the website, you just push on there for the ebook and you can get it. They wanted me to do this with great detail and documentation and to chase different people where they had healed people and all this stuff. Most of those things are just fabrications. The real famous cases are almost all fabrications. The gifts that we have today are what? Faith, hope, and love. We don't have the gift of pastors. Some people say, well, that's a gift. But it's not a gift. It's a calling. Deacons is a calling. The work of a deacon is a calling. It's not a gift. These are callings. And they don't make the difference. When the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, when he finished the book of Revelation, he ceased being an apostle. Because that was a gift. Even though they always called him the Apostle John. But he ceased because that was a gift. He ceased being an apostle. Of course, he lived probably another 30 years after that. They all looked up to him as an apostle, but his apostleship was gone. The gift of the apostle was gone. The first gift placed in the church was apostles. We know that the gift of tongues is something that's very, very prevalent among these people. The gift of tongues, as they practice in the charismatic movement, was never a biblical thing. It was never from the Bible. If you go back to the book of Kings and you go to Acts the 16th chapter and verse 16, you'll find out that all of the... Well, let me explain it to you just a little bit. I hope you don't mind. There was these temples, okay? These temples, people would go to the temple. And this isn't pagan temples, okay? This doesn't have anything to do with the Lord at all. They would go in these pagan temples, and they would stand in line for long lines. And they would, in the temple, would have the priests, and then out here someplace in some little building or something, usually over a pit in the ground with fumes coming up and at it, they would have a person out here on a chair. And these people really had gifts of discernment, but it wasn't of God. This is different. And they would come in here, they'd stand in lines here, and they say, where did my uncle leave his treasure? Okay? Where did my uncle leave his treasure? They'd stand here for a long, long time, maybe for days or weeks at a time, to get up there, and they would write on a piece of paper, these priests would, and give it to this old, what they called a hag. This spiritual woman with spiritual discernment, usually an old woman. Now, this is another thing. The Bible speaks of ministers and deacons as men, the male gender, okay? That's the way it speaks of. Almost every charismatic movement has women as leaders. Many of them do. The Four Square Church. Who started the Four Square Church?
Amy Semple McPherson.
Thank you. Amy Semple McPherson. All right. That's where it started. And that's Calvary Chapel today, people. That's Calvary Chapel. All right. Now, they are more conservative than all the rest in the charismatic movement. We have the Pentecostals, and then we have the Assembly of God, which is a little more tame. And then we have Calvary Chapel, which is even more tame. They do this. One of the biggest churches in Los Angeles down there, one of my students went down there, and she said there were 7,000 people there at one time speaking in tongues. At one time. 7,000 people in that service speaking in tongues. It was one of these more charismatic churches. The gift of speaking in tongues, first of all, it's languages. It's not tongues. It's languages. We got a word, it's glossia, which means glossary is what we get it from, which is a known language. But now these people spoke in an unknown language. Now you have your King James Bible, and it says, if anyone speaks in an unknown language, that's what it says. But that's not what's in the original language, if anybody speaks in a language. Now, the gift of languages was that if you went into an area where you were going to preach and you did not know their language, God would give you the gift to preach to them. Now, that gift isn't here today. People talk about going there and they go and people just stand up and start preaching in their language. But that's not a gift today. When the Bible is completed, that which is imperfect is finished. That which was in part is done away with. It ceases for itself, it said. Now, this group here, they come in here and say, now, where's my uncle's treasure? They would go out there and give it this piece of paper, and then she would speak in an ecstatic language to them. They would go back and they would interpret and tell these people what where it was. Now, they really had good, really, they did it. Let's go to Acts 16 chapter real quick. I always go there. I mean, you can go a lot of places in the Bible, but Acts 16 chapter, we have a perfect example of this. Acts 16 and verse 16. Now, let's go back up. The Apostle Paul is preaching, okay? And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God and heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she forced us to go there, basically. Verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination. Now, this I'm reading from King James, by the way. A spirit of a pythona is what it literally says. The spirit of a python. What is a python? Who is that great python? Satan. Okay? She had this gift. She had the gift to foretell. Now, all of these charismatic churches always have a prophecy, don't they? A prophecy. But the gift of prophecy is not there. But there was the gift of prophecy here. This hadn't got to do anything with the Lord still. Okay? Prophecy means to say something before it's going to happen. The Old Testament prophets told that Jesus was going to come. That's what mainly what's happened. Judgment was coming. Jesus was coming. That's the most important thing. Jesus is coming one of these days. The Lord is going to come. Jehovah is going to become flesh and dwell among us, and he's going to save our souls. All right? The spirit of divination met us and brought her masters much gain by the fortune-telling. That word there is mantuomene. We get a word manic out of that, mantic. You know what mantic is? Mm-hmm. What happens when you get mantic? Mantic episodes.
Pressured speech.
Huh?
Making unwise movements.
Yeah. All mantic, and that mantic episode. Out of their mind. Temporary insanity. Mantuomene. Temporary out of their heads. Okay? That's what they are. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Now, here is a demon saying this. You know why? Why did they say that? Why did this demon say this to this woman? Do you have any idea? To bring credibility to herself. All right, to bring credibility to herself. Most of these churches emphasize the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is supposed to emphasize who?
Jesus.
Who should we emphasize today? Not gifts, not all these experiences, but what? The fact that Jesus came, we need to magnify him. Not some other sidestep. Not some other something going to some side, going through some side door or whatever. And most of this is pure emotionalism. All right? My stepfather, which I love very much, he was a very Christian man, but he wasn't really a Christian. But he always prayed before dinner. He would never use God's name in vain, so to speak. You couldn't get him to do that. But he drank a lot. He did a lot of other things in his life. And he was raised in a charismatic, hyper-Pentecostal home. When his father joined the Pentecostal church, he never took them to a doctor again. Not again. They always get the preacher, pay the preacher, come out there, and the preacher would pray over them. And if they lived, they lived. If they didn't, they didn't. You know, I mean, that was it. But that's the way they did it. The preacher took the place of the doctor. Well, in the Pentecostal church, you're hyper-Armenians. What's that mean? Hyper-Armenian. Sharon?
That means you don't have a security of the believer.
You don't have a security of the believer.
So you can kind of lose your salvation again.
Just every other day, so to speak. There's where you have your holiness movement. What's the holiness movement mean, Brother Dick?
If you die with any sin, you don't go to heaven.
That's right. You die with any sin. So they believe that they're holy, that they have to live totally holy lives. Is this new to any some of you? All right. This is, and they don't believe in the security of the believer, and they believe you must do good works, and if you lie or do anything else, you're gone. So they try to say they don't do this. I've been in these, that's what I was raised in. If I went to church, I want to, this is what I went to when I was young. I was saved in the Pentecostal church. I was saved there. Kind of. It wasn't what they wanted to do that day. They were too busy. And my step-grandmother went down there and led me to the Lord. Not the preacher, not any of the deacons, nobody else. They were busy. And I went down there and I was under conviction and I was saved. I have no foundation in that church whatsoever, even though I love those people. And they were really good people. But they didn't understand God's Word. Period. I mean, it was all emotion. Good people, but off on the wrong path, period. I believe most of them were saved. But they were trusting in salvation by works. Salvation is by grace, okay?
And Brother Jim.
Yes.
Did they not also teach that unless you've had this wonderful second experience,
that you have to have the experience.
You won't be holy enough to make it to heaven?
No. All of them demand that you talk in tongues. That's confirmation that you've been saved. Okay? Now let's go on a little further. These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way. Now, there is no a way. A lot of people say a way of salvation. That's not what it says here. The way of salvation. Okay? And this she did many days. She just kept doing this over and over and over and over. And Paul was greatly, deeply grieved, and he turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, they were incarcerated. And teach custom which is not lawful for us to receive, neither observe, being Romans. And a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them, and they beat the tar out of them. Because he cast that spell. This girl would go into this exotic language and she would speak and then her masters would interpret. This is the way it was. And somehow or another that got involved. Now, Muslims speak in tongues. Did you know that? Eskimos speak in tongues. Buddhists speak in tongues. Catholics speak in tongues. Have I got anybody that's got saved yet? The speaking of tongues. Have I mentioned any of them yet? No. These false religions all speak in tongues. They all have this ecstatic experience. And when you have this experience, it is so powerful that you can hardly ever get anybody out of it. I know very few people that have ever left it. Back there in my back in the back, I had one of my pastor friends that wrote a book taking the confusion out of tongues. And, of course, I wrote my master's thesis on that. I wish he'd had that before he wrote that book because he could have done a little bit better if he'd have known what the language had said about it. But anyway, did that help you? Mm-hmm. And it gets us away from salvation by grace. How much Jesus do these people preach? How much? Very little. Mostly it's twisting your arm trying to get money out of you. Every one, they might pass this offering plate three or four times. I went to and saw A.A. Allen preach, Oral Roberts, all of those big shots, and all the way down the line. Every one of them was alive in my time. I saw people supposed to be healed that were not healed. But they said they were, you know, at that moment. And if you're not healed, whose fault is it? Your fault. You didn't have enough faith. The gift of healing has nothing to do with faith, does it? It's a gift. How about faith? Where's faith come from? Do you muster up faith? No. For in grace ye are having been saved, 2 and 8, Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not a works, lest any man should boast. See? All of this is, you have it. If you're born again, you have the faith to believe. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure of the reference. I think it's in Joel where it was talking about your young men will dream dreams and your daughters will prophesy and all that.
Yeah.
And how does that fit into it?
That's in the very, this period of time. That's in the tribulation period.
That's
during the tribulation period. All right? That's during that period of time. That's when that's going to happen. This, get all the context around there. There's it. We're not there yet. Even though, boy, I tell you, sometimes I think I I've done a lot of studying lately. I've just been immersed myself in this Muslim thing. And I was listening to a man, Waleed Shoaibat. How many of you ever heard of him? Waleed Shoaibat. Waleed Shoaibat, not all of his life is documented to be true, but boy, does he know the Muslim world. The Muslims are looking for their Messiah. You know, we talk about the chips that people are putting in people. You know, this is the mark of the Antichrist and all this kind of 666. Who asked me that the other day? You? He said it's going to be a mark because the Messiah, the Muslim Messiah, is going to mark all of his people on their forehead. On the hand, he's going to mark them. Not the chip. You're not going to be able to live or do anything unless you do that. And all the nations, and you do, I could challenge you to look at this, every nation that's going to come against God in the last time, what kind of a nation is it? A Muslim nation. Think about that for a while. Boy, look how powerful. Their goal is what? What's the goal of the Muslim people?
Worldwide caliph.
Yep. They're going to take over the world. That's what they want to do.
Caliphate, I mean.
Yeah, caliphate, yeah. They have to have their own laws. The Shia laws. In England has gone that way. They've taken over France. Did you know that? They've pretty much taken over France. France has always been a place of freedom of a choice in religion. Did you know that? France has been a historic place. That's where the Jews went, where they could have their lives, pretty much. And they lived there without as much persecution there. That's the least persecution they had in France of any place. All the time. But guess what? Where you have freedom of religion, you also have people that take advantage of freedom of religion. Does the Muslim world give freedom of religion in any place that they are in power? Is there freedom of religion? No. I think freedom of religion ought to be reciprocal to all of these things. Where you have power, you give freedom of religion, then you have it here. Otherwise, we ought to put a poll tax on them like they did. They do there. If you're not a Muslim, you get taxed heavy. Real heavy. You won't work either. Period. You have any questions on any of that? Yes, John. That's how she did. She, the demonic character in her, but she did what we're talking about in the charismatic movement.
How does that reflect on the fortune tellers from that time on?
They were always. Where did your fortune tellers originate? Somebody tell me. Church history. Where did they originate? I know you know, Brother Roger. Where did the fortune tellers originate? Sonia, do you know where the fortune tellers? How about it, Corey? Somewhat, yes. A little bit. It goes way back to there. Where did it originate, Roger?
Jews.
What? The Jews. the palm readers, the tarot cards, this is always Jewish. This is all Jewish. It's all Jewish. Think about that. The gypsies, all of that stuff. This was all Jewish in origin. I told you here a while back that there were many girls, Jewish girls, trained to be courtesans, prostitutes, to go into place and marry with kings and stuff in the area and or be their, you know, their courtesans or whatever. And that way that their people could have freedom there a little bit. What's the most famous Jewish...
Esther.
Huh?
Esther.
What's the most famous Jewish courtesan?
Sarah Bernhardt.
Huh?
Sarah Bernhardt.
Sarah Bernhardt. The great American actress was a Jewish courtesan. She was trained to be a Jewish prostitute. Matter of fact, she had a child by a prince, and his family wouldn't let him marry her. Anyway, the only child she had was by a prince. All right, let's go to... Yes, Mother.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
You mentioned the Mark of the Beast. I remember a good missionary friend of mine grew up in the 70s. The microchip seemed to be the
yes.
prevailing thought of the time that would be the Mark of the Beast. Where did that come from, you know, the thought of where it was a microchip?
Because you won't work. Now, we do have Social Security, don't we? Social Security numbers. Okay? All of it. There's nobody in this room that doesn't have a Social Security number. I don't think anybody listening out here in the United States of America doesn't have a Social Security number. You got to have it to get medical treatment. You got to have it to get a job. You got to have a bank account. You got to have it to get a fishing license. Got to have it to have a hunting license. You got to have it to have a ham radio license. Anything that you do, you're going to have a Social Security number. You have to have it. Could that be part of the Mark of the Beast? You have a citizen number in that, don't you? They know when you were born, all that kind of stuff. You have all of that. Could that be incorporated into that mark? Because with that, you can't get a job, can you? Unless you're an illegal alien or something, you know, whatever, you know. But you legally can't get a job, can you? No, can't do it. Can't get a job without it. Could they incorporate that into that? Yeah. Now, Islam says that their people will be marked by their imam, the great last imam, okay? And they will be marked. And Satan marks his people, doesn't he? Satan marks his people. Does God mark his people? Yes, he marked you. He marks you in your heart with the Spirit of God that indwells you when you're born again. All right? Did it help you a little bit, or... Okay, yeah. I don't know. It could be incorporated, yes. It could be incorporated in our Social Security number. It could be. We don't know these things. I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation in 1980. I've learned a lot of things since then, but I have seen a lot of things come and go. I earned two doctorates, but I have learned a lot more since that seminary. A whole lot more because I've kept on studying. And we see more and more and more. You asked me about about prophesying today. The tarot card readers, some of these people do have powers.
That's getting very popular now.
Yeah. Very, where?
The younger generation coming up.
Where?
In high school.
Where?
Here in high school.
Okay.
In Bakersfield.
Yeah.
My son has a granddaughter, and that's the big thing they get together and do that. And he said, that's a no-no.
When I was young, they got together and got a Ouija board.
Yeah, Ouija board.
Yeah. That's all demonic, people. That's all demonic. There are no such thing as ghosts, but there are things as spirits. Spirits seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. Now, spirits come from three different realms. Okay? There are, everything that God made is triune, isn't it? All right? Everything that God made is triune. God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Man is triune, body, material, mind, the Father, Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we have material, and we have soul and spirit, and we have We have Lucifer, call him Luke, and we have the spirit world is Michael, and then we have Gabriel, which is the information realm. Now, angels have form, okay? Spirits do not. Spirits can cause... Have you ever heard of hauntings? Poltergeists and all this kind of stuff? This, if it's real, it comes from this realm. If people... If they prophesy today, these people that say they've got a gift from God that can tell the sheriff officers where to go find this or find that or whatever else, okay? Yes, they can have these powers. But they come from fallen angels, fallen spirits. That's where they come from. Fallen Gabriel's realm. Gabriel's realm. Okay? Does that open it up just a little bit more? All right. Let's go to 17 and verse 7 now. John 17 and verse 7. Sharon, are you there? Let's go about 17 and verse... start out with the Amplified Bible. I want you to come and read, if you would, please, from about 17:1 forward.
When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Just as you have granted him power and authority over all flesh, all humankind, now glorify him so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. I have glorified you down here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name. I have revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed and kept your word.
All right. Thank you. There's where we're coming up. Now, I want you to contrast. I want you to just think about this. Remember what we talked about Muhammad last week. I want you to contrast Muhammad with Jesus. I want you to do that. Just contrast him. The only time we ever had Jesus do anything violent was when he went in and cleansed the temple of these people that were ripping the people off. When he was, now Islam will deny that he was ever crucified or even arrested. They say that God took him away and made it look like somebody else was crucified in his place. Some say, the Gnostics say it was Judas that was crucified in his place, which is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Muhammad means what? What does it mean? The magnificent, the glorious one. Which is a term of what? Of deity. Jesus said that he was. He was. His character was absolute perfection, wasn't it? Jesus had no sin, did he? He never sinned. He never spoke not one evil way. Islam now says that Muhammad is the most perfect person to ever live. The most perfect person to ever live. We judge all men by him. If you judge all men by him, you see violence, you see lust, you see all these things. He walked in one time, he had a son that he had adopted, and he walked into his house, and his wife had told him to come in, and he came in, and she was laying there very scantily dressed on her couch. And he turned around, and he was very attracted to her, lusted after her. So he left. And the woman told her husband about it. And he talked to Muhammad. He said, why didn't you go in when my wife told you to come in? Oh, he said, I had great passion. He said, you can have her. If you want her, you can have her. I'll divorce her if you have her. Oh, no. And then he got a convenient revelation that God's told him to do that. All right, so he got her. And the spoils of war were always raping and pillaging, and he did it. Matter of fact, he went into this one village where they killed, they say, anywhere from 600 to 900 people, and he was one of those decapitating these people. Can you imagine Jesus doing anything like that? In the great battle, yes. The great battle of the end times. Yes. But he came as what? He came as a servant the first time, didn't he? The docile servant that came to do his Father's will. There is the most perfect human being that ever lived. If you want to call him human, as Pontius Pilate said, it would be unlawful to call him human because he is divine. And he was divine. But he was a man also. We have a God. We have a man. He is all man and all God. 100% mankind, 100% God. But perfection. All right? This is the perfection, the perfect Jesus we're talking about here right now. He's about to be arrested. About to be arrested. Nin egnokon. Hote panta hosa didokas moe para su essen. Now they have known that all as many as you have given to me, from you they are. In other words, God calls these. How does people get saved? The drawing of God by the Spirit of God. Okay, so he's saying the Father did this, but in all reality, who really was that? That was Spirit God drawing them, wasn't it? Spirit God drawing them. Now, we know that this is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Anything the Son did, the Father did. Anything the Spirit did, the Father did. You understand that? In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says there, in singular, in the name of. Eisto onoma. In the name of. It should be grammatically perfect. It should be in the names of. But we don't have three gods. So it said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have people that teach this Jesus-only business. Okay? All right, now, 17 and verse 18. Hoti ta remata. Ha edokas moi. Didoka. Avtois kai avtoi. Elabon kai. Egnoson. Alithos. Hoti para su exelthon. Kai epistuoson hote si me apostolos. Because the words, look at that word word there. Now, this isn't logos, is it, brother Dick, is it? Huh? That's a different word, isn't it? What does this word remata, what does that word for word mean? What's that word mean? It comes from the word reo, which means to flow. Okay, so what is this? This is an edict that had flowed from God. The edict. This is the edict which you, me, I have given to them. An edict. What is it? How do you come to God? Not by good works. Not by good works. You know, if you become a Muslim, you've got to recite the pillars of the faith. You know, I believe in Allah, the only God, the only true God, and so on, and His prophet, Muhammad. Then you go on, and you're going to make a spiritual journey to that rock over there in Mecca. And you march around that rock how many times?
Seven
times. And what color is that rock?
Black.
You know why it's black? Because that rock absorbs all of the sins of every Muslim that go over there. The blackness of the sin. Now, that's a meteorite, by the way, supposedly, that's there. This people, pagans, were going there for hundreds of years before Muhammad. Hundreds and hundreds of years they were going to this place. They go around and march, and that's one of the things you do to get saved. You go with this, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't do all this, at least not to another Muslim. Everybody else is fair game, you know. You go look at that, and what is it? What's the recipe for salvation from Jesus? believe, look, believe, and be saved by His grace only. He was a type of that serpent in the wilderness. Remember when Israel sinned, that God sent these brazen serpents, these brass-colored serpents among them, that these serpents would bite them, and they would die. But the antidote for that was what? Moses took a brass and beat it up and had put it upon a stick, and all they had to do was look. Look and believe and be healed. That's real simple, isn't it? That's what the religious world is so complicated today, that people are so confused they don't know where to go. And who do you think who is the author of the confusion? Satan. Yes, John.
A lot of people say that's the first of idols because it was a snake they put up there, and when they got bit by the snake, they wouldn't look at it, they wouldn't die. But then I've been to quite a few different churches. I have my family. We got everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you have a big family dinner or reunion,
you get to hear all kinds of stories.
Interesting. It's a little loud, but it gets
yeah. The brass serpent, the brazen serpent.
Yes.
What does brass stand for in the Bible?
Judgment.
The judgment of their sins was upon Jesus. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you look unto Him, what? You'll be saved. All right. I have given to them, and them they received, and they know. Look at that word know there. They know, truly. How many times do you have to know to be saved? That's punctiliar action. How many times do you get saved? That's punctiliar action. Knife blade action. Truly, alethos. Aletheia or alethos, this is a little adverb here. What does that aletheia mean there, Brother Rucker?
Is that the one without shadow?
No shadow. That's what aletheia means there, Brother Dick. No shadow. No shadow in it. No darkness. Truly that from you I have come forth. And they believe that you, me, you have sent. Look at that word apostolos there. Apostolos. What about that word apostolos? What other word comes out of that? Apostle. What does the word apostle mean? To be sent by majestic authority. To be a magistrate themselves. The one that's sent like this is a magistrate. To be sent with tremendous power and authority. Onoma. Exousia. What does exousia mean? By the name of God and by the exousia of God. What's that exousia mean? You remember that, Sharon?
Authority. That's beyond authority.
Unlimited power. Exousia. Unlimited authority. Out of it. Beyond any limitations. All right. 17 and verse 9. We're going to get through this here. Ego. Peri. Auton. Eroto. U. Peri. Tu. Cosmu. Erota. Ala. Peri. Hon. Didokos. Moi. Hote. Soi. Asen. Concerning them, I request. That word, erota, oh, now that's a pretty powerful word, I interrogate. That's a powerful word for the request. Not concerning the world, I request, but, see that strong adversative conjunction, that's all of there. But concerning of whom you have given me, because yours they are. Now, he's not praying for the world. Now, why is Jesus praying for his disciples? Why is he praying for them? Huh? They're going to need it. Why? Because he's not going to be there for a while. He's going to be gone for 3 days, isn't he? Going to be gone for 3 days. And the Father needs to watch over them because Jesus' body and his spirit and soul are going to be where? His body's going to be in that grave. He won't be with them. His soul and spirit are going to be where? Hades. Jesus really went to Hades. He didn't go to hell now. He went to Hades. What's the difference between Hades and hell? Chance, you remember that one?
Hades is temporary.
Hades is a place of departed spirits. That's Sheol and Hades are the same place. It's a place of departed spirits. Before the cross of Christ, before the resurrection of Jesus, the saved and the lost were in one great big compartment, but they were separated. One side was paradise and one side was torments. Okay? When he died, he went down there and preached to those that were there and told him that I have died for your sins, and boy, pretty soon, you're going to get to go to heaven. And he rose. And he took a bunch of them, if not all of them. All right? And then they got to go to heaven. Because before God, the price hadn't been paid for salvation. The price was not paid yet. The promise was there all the way from Adam, but the price was only paid there at the cross. No place else. There at the cross. Okay?
John, and you're saying that the people who pass away now or die now, they still go to Hades?
No. They get to go to heaven now if they're saved. If they're not, they get to go to Hades. You go to heaven now. If you die in Christ, you go to heaven because Jesus paid the price. It's done. It's past. It's over with. There is no other price. But if you are not saved, you go to Hades, which is not an eternal place. Hades is not eternal. The lake of fire is eternal. You don't, when in Hades, you don't have your body. You have some form in Hades, but you don't have your body. When you're thrown into hell, eternal hell fire, you will have a body if you're lost. You will have a corruptible body, one that feels pain. We won't have a body that feels pain. All right.
Another question.
Yes.
That when the second coming comes and he raises the dead, actually he's raising their physical body because their souls are already there.
Yes, the souls are already there. He only... That's the resurrection, the anastasia, the resurrection. He's going to raise them.
So you will be what you were when you were in your body, right?
Yes, you'll have the body. Okay. It's going to be a glorified body, though.
My wife wants to know one question and one answer, but that's that one. How old will she be?
How old?
Yeah. Is she going to be her 24-year-old or is she going to be her 80-year-old?
I can't answer that question. Probably in the prime of life.
That's what I tell them.
I imagine. I would say probably in the prime of life. I can't tell you that absolutely because it doesn't tell you.
No.
But you're not going to have any limitations.
Be a woman,
people will know you. Well, of course, woman would ask that. You know, they're always putting makeup on. They probably won't be any makeup in heaven, though. You know.
Won't need it.
No, won't need it. 17:10. Kai ta. Emma. Panta sa esten. Kai ta sa emma. Kai edoxa sa mai. En altos. And the mine, all, each one is yours. Everything that's mine is yours. And everything that's yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. All right, I have been glorified in them. 17:11. Kai ukete eme en to cosmo. Kai altoi en to cosmo. Asen kago pros si erkamai pater hage terrason altos en to onomati. Su ho, dedokas, moi, hina, osen, hen, kathos, himes. Kai, and, no longer, look at that word. No longer comes from uk and ete. It means not longer. Two adverbs. I am in the world. No longer I will be in the world. Jesus will not be in the world as a human any longer. Not as a fragile, with a fragile body that is subject to hunger, subject to thirst, subject to being killed. No longer I'm going to be in a world like that, but these in the world, they are. They're going to be here. They're going to stay here. And I, to you, I come. Father, holy, holy Father, guard and keep them. You guard and keep them in the name of you, which you have given to me, in order that they may be one just as we. That we may be one, just like we are. All right? One just like we are. I ran out of words. You got a book. I have the last book. Okay, let's go to number 12. Hote. Amen. Met. Auton. Ego. Eteron. Autos. Ento. Onoma. Su. Ho. Didokos. Moe. Kai. Iphiloxa. Kai. Udes. Ex. Auton. Apoleto. A. Me. Ho. Huios. Tes. Apolias. Hina. He. Grafe. Plerothe. When I kept on being with them. Look at that word. When I kept on being with them for myself. That's third person or first person singular. Imperfect indicative middle voice. See that middle voice there? All right. When I kept on being with them, I kept on keeping. I kept on guarding. I continued to guard. First person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. Them. See that word? Omicron, Epsilon, Sigma on the end of that, Brother Dick. That's a third person pronoun there. That's accusative plural. Accusative plural. Third person pronoun. Accusative plural masculine third person pronoun. That's autus. Okay. In to onoma. In there, that is a preposition, page 137, if you want to write it down. In the name, in the authority of, in the power. Look at that word toe there, brother. Brother Dick, you see that toe there? That's a definite article, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay. And what case is it in? Come on now. That preposition in front of it tells you what case it is. What is it, Brother Roger?
Nominative singular masculine.
No.
No?
That's locative singular masculine.
Locative
singular. Locative. Locative.
With an L.
Locative. With an L. Locative. When you see in, it's usually in the locative case. Okay? And then you see the toe. The definite article always is going to agree number, gender, and case with the noun that it's describing. In the name of you, which you have given me, and I have guarded them. I have been a sentinel. I am the prison guard. I am the one that keeps them under lock and key. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps your soul under lock and key today. He does. He keeps your soul under lock and key. And not one, no one, ude ace. That comes from an adverb of negation, a weak adversative conjunctive particle, day, and it comes from ace, which is a numeral, which means one. Moreover, not one out of them has perished. Third person singular, secondary is indicative. Middle voice. They didn't perish for themselves. Except the son of perdition. Look at that word wheels there. What does the word wheels mean? The heir. Who is the heir of perdition? Who was the heir? Judas. Yehuda. Beautiful name, Judah. Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah, wasn't he? That's right. Judah was a wonderful name. This man had a wonderful name, Jehovah. Praise Jehovah, that's what his name meant. Praise Jehovah. Not the son of perdition, except the son of perdition, in order that the scripture, it might be fulfilled. Psalm 41 and verse 9. The only disciple of Christ prophesied of in the Old Testament was Judas Iscariot. We studied that a little bit here a while back. Do you have any other questions right here? Any other questions? Chance, got a question?
I have a question on the Hades. So when he goes down and there's chasm between one side and the other, correct?
Yes, between one side and the other.
Does he preach to the side of...
He preached to the side. Now, evidently, the ones over on the other side heard too.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Where did we start tonight? 17 and 2? 17, 7? 17-7. All right. 17-7 through 12.
What about the word Tartarus?
Tartarus, Abyssone, all of those are a place. It is a place that is in the infernal regions. I have a book I wrote on the doctrines of the Bible. There is one whole class on hell. Do you have that book, brother? The doctrines of the Bible. There's one whole class that is on hell. If you go to the website, go to Sermon Audio, Discover the Word with DrJim.com or DiscoverTheWord.com. Just go over there where it says the doctrines of the Bible class. Just push on that. If you go to Sermon Audio, you just go up there where it says series, push on that. It says doctrines of the Bible. Go on there till you come to the one. You can even watch it on video on the doctrine of hell. And it'll tell you, there's a lot of them. That I use all the terms for hell, Tartarus, Abyssone. I use all the terms for Satan, all his names, all of his titles of Satan in there, or the doctrine of Satan. He's not a myth. He's a real person. He's not a spook. He's a real person. It's not mythology. All right? And hell's a real place, too. Anything else? Andrea? No? No?
Can I ask in John 3:5?
Yes.
I know a lot of people that say that use the verse wrong and say that it is telling you that salvation through faith and by baptism.
Yes.
They say, what's the answer, Jesus? Truly, truly, I tell you, everyone is born of water and spirit. You cannot enter into the kingdom.
Unless he's born of water and the spirit. Okay.
Can you explain that a little bit?
There's about a 50 different explanations for that. Okay. When you're born with a fluid. What do you call that? Amniotic fluid. You come through water. Okay. And you're born, the first time you're born into the world and you're born with a curse on you. Because of your father, Adam. Because of your father, each and every individual. The sin nature comes through them, the curse comes through them, not the mother. Okay? So you're born of water, and then if you're not born of the Spirit, you don't get to go. Do you? You got a spirit in you, all right, but it's a spirit of rebellion. Okay? When you're born again, the spirit of rebellion is no longer there. But the taint of sin is in the body and in your mind. You know, I mean, once you get saved, that's not the end of all the problems. It just isn't the end of all the problems. They're still there. But you have a spirit in you that's whipping you back in line. Do you remember when you didn't have that spirit? How many of you remember when you didn't have it? Yeah? It didn't bother you to go do whatever you wanted to do. But once you have the spirit, then what? The conscience. You got a conscience. Conscience. You get a bad conscience, you know. When you do something wrong, you get a bad conscience. All right? And the spirit that comes in there. Now, that's basically how I teach that. You know, the people, Acts 2:30, you know, the Church of Christ, all the what we call baby baptizers and everything else. Babies are baptized in these churches for the original sin. And then, after that on, then you got to do something to get to heaven. You know, that's the progress. And then when you get old enough to the age of accountability, you have to confirm what your godmother and godfather said. Baptists don't baptize babies. They don't baptize them. We don't need godmothers and godfathers. Simple as that. They're going to learn, and if they grow up and they're saved, they'll be saved. And just make sure they're there. Get them in church. Do the best you can with them. Take them to church. But if you give them all you got, you did your job. But they are individuals of life. They have individual souls. They have nephesh, don't they? Nephesh is the Hebrew word for soul. They have souls. In Greek, it's psyche. Psyche. Psychology. That's where it comes from, psyche. Nephesh and psyche. Judge John, you have any other questions tonight? No?
Thank you.
All right. Corey, Sonia, Sharon.
Well, I thought this is
has always been one of my favorite passages, mm-hmm. because this is where really I think Jesus is praying for us.
Yes, this is what you call his high priest prayer.
Yeah, I mean, he's praying for us.
This is the Lord's prayer. This is his really prayer. We got the model prayer. This is the Lord's prayer right here. This is a tremendous high priestly prayer. Okay?
And when he's saying he won't lose any one of us.
No. They can't get lost.
Yeah, that is such a comfort.
Yes. You can't get lost. Once you've been saved, that's not possible. That's not what they say with all these charismatic gifts, though, is it? Just think about that for a while. Why are they so... If they got all these gifts, why don't they know what the Bible teaches? Huh? They got all this prophecy and everything. Why don't they understand that thing? Why don't they understand that basic biblical, foundational biblical doctrine? Salvation by grace. All right? That would be really neat if they could get that one right, huh? They got all this super information. All right. Adriana, no other questions?
You know, how would you define the word calling when you said it's not a gift, but you're called when we're talking about gifts?
The calling. The Holy Spirit calls you to the Lord. Now, He calls you. He convicts you. Can a person reject that call? Yeah. You think Judas ever rejected it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Did any child of God ever reject the calling of God, resist the grace of God successfully? No. We got all this. There is election. There is calling. There are two groups in the Bible elected, the church and Israel. Okay? I want you to understand that. We're all elected in one way. That the only way you're going to get saved is by grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself will redeem the whole world back to Himself. The whole world is going to be... For God so loved the world, so many people in John the 3rd chapter don't get the story. They miss the world. He's going to bring the whole world back into harmony with Him. And I was talking to somebody the other day on the radio or something. I teach on the radio too. A guy said, they'd heard me teach about that Adam wasn't created from dirt. He wasn't created from dust. He wasn't created from clay. Okay? He was created from the same elements as the dirt. Why wasn't he created from dirt?
I know that one.
Yes.
Because he's a primary creation.
He's a primary creation of God. And what had happened to the dirt?
It had been contaminated.
It had been contaminated and cursed. He didn't create man from a cursed lot of dirt. He created him from the same elements that he created the dirt from. Man is related to dust, and he will become dust because that was a prophecy, to dust he shall go. As from dust he was taken, and to dust he shall go. He was taken from the same elements as the dust, but to dust he shall go. He wasn't created from dust because that dust was contaminated. The dust that he created is from the same elements as the dust. Was not. It was pristine. Primary creation. Woman came from man, didn't she? She came from man, which came from God. So woman is the secondary creation. That's why the man is responsible. The man's responsible. So many men won't be responsible. That's one of their fallings, isn't it? The man is supposed to be responsible for the spiritual guidance of his home, for the spiritual guidance of his children, for the spiritual guidance of his wife. And so many get an F minus, don't they? What do you see in so many churches over the years? You see women being the leaders because the men don't do it. That is a great denouncement of the masculine gender, so to speak. They have failed. Flopped. All right? Flopped. Simple as that. Adam flopped in the garden, didn't he? He was supposed to be guarding his wife and guarding his wife from anything that came. Adam was created outside the garden, put in the garden to take care of it and to guard it. Guard it from whom? From evil. All sorts of evil, because there was plenty of evil in the world. Man did not originate sin. Who originated sin? Lucifer is the originator of sin. Not man. He was seduced by his wife. And his wife was what? She was tricked. She was deceived. Because Satan is a deceiver.
Did he allow Satan to be in there to test him?
He allowed Satan to be there because of volition. How could they conquer without the chance of being touched by Satan? Was Jesus in his body as a human? Was he ever confronted by the devil himself? How many times? All right, go in Matthew, the 4th chapter. Just talk about the temptation of Jesus. And that wasn't the last time. He just left him for a while. But he overcame, didn't he? Could Adam have overcome? Their second Adam did. First Adam didn't. And he's the one that gave us this great gift of sin and the sin nature and destruction and all of that. But the Lord of heaven will, through mankind, bring all things back into harmony with himself through the merits of Jesus Christ. Through that relation of Adam to the world. He's related to the world. We came from the same elements. We're brothers. The earth is our sister, our brother. Okay? All right. You ready to go out and do something infernal? Did I give you too much tonight? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. And we'll go out there and do something eternal. Chance, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer, please, brother?
Lord God Almighty, thank you for this night. Thank you for everyone that comes here to attend and across the broadcast online. Help us all understand better so we can present the gospel as we go out and come close to you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.